little ahead of schedule this morning. I don't know if that means we'll end early, but we are ahead of schedule. Grab your Bibles, if you would. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Familiar, probably a very familiar chapter to most people. This is one of the sections of the Bible that's pretty familiar to most. Throughout the book of John, especially, Jesus Christ makes certain statements, I am statements, who he is and his own descriptors of who he is. And as you get to John chapter 10, you get several of them in a row. Verse number 1, John chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, the shepherd is of the sheep. Let's try that again. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm going to stop right there. Ultimately, he is making that statement over and over. You saw it repeatedly, right? He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He is, of course, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep later. He says, in another spot we know, right, John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Earlier in the chapter, it's in the previous chapter, I am the bread of life. Over and over, I am these things, that's who he is. He's using those to depict what he wants them to see about him. And what you can learn about Jesus Christ through these titles and through these phrases that he uses about himself. And so I got looking yesterday. I was walking over to my office last night, yesterday afternoon, evening time. I was coming back over, and Pastor Legault had come. He met up with Donnie, and he left. And I got over here, and just as I'm walking up to my doors, I see a semi-familiar sight to me. And that semi-familiar sight is Pastor Legault's keys hanging in his office door. And so I called him. I said, hey, you coming right back? Like, I thought maybe he just left it unlocked. He was driving back to the house or something. He forgot and was coming back, and he just, you know, no big deal. And that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. And so I gave him a hard time about leaving his keys in the door again, you know. And I locked up and brought his keys in my office, you know. And we got talking on the phone, and we decided that, you know, preaching on keys could really be a good thing. And I thought, that's true. That's true. And so we kind of brainstormed real quick. Donnie was there. So me, Pastor Legault, Donnie, the three of us, we kind of brainstormed some stuff. And then I said, we'll see what happens. Because I still wasn't settled on what I was preaching this morning. And so I thought, this might be a good idea. And so the Lord kind of worked things out for me. Thinking about the fact that keys are pretty easy, right? The thought process, right? If you want to get in a door, you need the key. If it's a locked door, you need something to get there, to get into that area. Over and over, we have high security locks on the doors, and we have all these things, like everything's secured and locked up, and that's kind of the idea. Locks are only good, though, if you use them, right? I mean, if you don't lock the door, it really doesn't make any difference. If you lock the door and you can get a key, you can get in, but if you can't get a key, you got to break something to get in there. And so the goal is ultimately to, you know, not be a thief and go ahead and actually, you know, do the job. And so I got thinking about that, and I got thinking, you know, keys, they can be forgotten. in a door. They can get lost. You just misplaced your keys, right? We say misplaced, like, it sounds better. No, you lost them. That's what happened. You lost the keys. No, I misplaced them. See, we try to make ourselves feel a little bit better. I misplaced that. You lost it. That's what happened. Now you got to go find it. No, I misplaced. I got to find where I put those. No, you didn't put them anywhere. You lost them. That's what happened. You can grab the wrong keys. You ever get the wrong set of keys? I got bunches of sets of keys. I got keys to the church. We got keys to the house. You got keys to the cars. You got keys to everything, right? And you turn around and every once in a while, some of the guys here, I brought the wrong set of keys. I don't have keys to the building today. I brought the wrong keys. We do that a lot. Get the wrong one. Well, the wrong one's not going to help you out. If you have the wrong key doesn't work. And so you can think that you're going to be fine and you can walk up. You know what's amazing to me? You can walk up to a door, you can slide a key in and it'll slide in, but it won't turn. Still the wrong key. It can fit right in the slot, but it won't do a thing for you. It looks really good, but it won't quite work. Now, I mean, we're getting somewhere this morning already. You get thinking about this. If you're at all spiritually minded this morning, we got some spots right here, right? But then, man, you get stolen keys, you get forgotten keys, you get the wrong key, you get the lost keys, but then you get the right key. And if you got the key and you've got the right key, you can open anything. And that makes it life more abundant, like he talks about right here. That's the statement he makes. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There's certain things in our lives we talk about, and it's not physical keys that we talk about sometimes, right? You're explaining something, you're instructing somebody on some things, and sometimes you say this. You say, all right, now this is key right here, right? And that's the phrase we use. This is key. Why? Because if you get that one thing right there in place, the rest of it unlocks for you. The rest of that kind of, it just blossoms into the rest of what it's supposed to be. If you miss that piece, you'll never get it. If you don't have that locked down right there, you will not get it fixed. You won't understand what to do. You won't be able to fix it. You won't be able to figure it out. Nothing will open up to you. I like puzzles. I like doing puzzles. Tabletop puzzles, you know. Thousands of pieces. Doesn't bother me. I like to do puzzles. I don't like puzzles that have entire black backgrounds or anything like that. That's just torture. I don't understand why you want to do that. That's weird to me, all right? I also don't like puzzles that are weird shaped, all right? I don't like that. You get the ones that are like shaped like a circle or shaped like something. I don't want that. I just want my rectangle or my square. I'm good, all right? I'm fine. I also like the weird puzzle pieces where they put the puzzles and they're not like cut like a regular one. They got too many like the little weird squiggly line sides. And you're like, what are we doing? Right? Okay. Anyways, not a lot of puzzlers in here. That's fine. That's fine. It's weird though to me. All right. But I like a good puzzle. I like a good puzzle. I like Sudoku. I like the number little boxes. I like crossword puzzles. I like all that stuff. You say, why do you like all that? I don't know. I like finding and figuring out. I don't know. But I like it. Maybe you don't like it. I like it. But you know, sometimes you're doing a crossword and you get those real long words that go all the way across. Those are keys right there to a crossword. You get that word right there. You get that phrase, whatever it is. If you can get that, you can kind of, that breaks out the puzzle for you. If you're struggling with that and you're trying to do those little words all the way going across, it takes forever. But if you can unlock that, man, you suddenly just, you can start ripping through a crossword puzzle. Sudoku, you start figuring out, once you get one number completely eliminated, you got all the spots on Sudoku, now you're going. Now you're cruising somewhere. But let's face it, if you can't get that, you're hurting. The whole time, you're like, I'm never going to solve this. You ever feel like that in your life? I feel like I'm never going to solve this. You don't have the key for that one right there. Whether it's sin, whether it's just your life goal, whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whether it's, I don't know what it is for you. There's certain things that we have in this life where if we could get the key to that, we'd be like, I got this. But here's the trouble. If you're saved in here, you already got a key. You just got to figure out which key to use. Because he's got the key to everything for you. You see, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he walked out and he said, I have the keys of hell and of death. out he walked. He took the keys to everything. God has the key to everything in this life and in all of eternity. He owns it. And so the trouble that we have is sometimes we get the wrong key. We're trying to do something one way, and God's like, that's not the key for that. You got the wrong key. Well, it fits in the slot. Yeah, but it's not quite right. There's the cut's not quite there. You need something different. And we get the wrong thing trying to get the right thing. Sometimes we think we know and we forgot. You ever have something under control and then you forgot it? Like for some reason you just can't remember what you're supposed to do with that? I do electrical work. We've been doing a little bit here at the church. We've been different things. But sometimes there's stuff that I didn't do all the time when I was doing it. Like, I mean, constant all the time for the time that I was doing it. And then I get out, you know, and I don't do it regular. And I get there and I look at it and I go, I know what to do with this. But this is a little more complicated. This isn't quite exactly what I normally do. And so now I got to remember. Whereas before, it probably would have just been more instinct. I'd have just done. You ever been there? I mean, you don't use it, you lose it kind of a thing. And so sometimes you come across some things in your Christian life and you go, I used to remember how to do this. What's the key to this again? Right? We can't quite remember. We forgot where we had that. We had the answer at one point, but now we kind of struggle with the answer for a moment to kind of get that back into gear. Sometimes we just lost it. We lost what we had. And now we've got to get back into that area of our life again and fix that. We lost the key to that for a minute, and now we got to go ahead and find it again. Sometimes the devil comes along, and he's that thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so he comes in and he tries to steal the keys so that you won't do what you're supposed to do, and instead you feel like you'd never find it again. You see, those keys start showing up, and there's some keys in our lives that I think everybody wants, and I think everybody can have. And so I'm not going to cover every key in our lives, because we would not be out on time. Right? I mean, if we covered every key to everything, I got a lot of keys for these buildings. We got a lot of locks. A lot of locks in this place. And I have all the keys to the place. Cheryl's got all the keys to the place because she cleans. So we got lots of keys. You can say, I got a key ring. I mean, it's monstrous. For just keys for here. Unlock all the things in your life on what you want victory over and what you want to do right and what you want to have in your life and what you want to get out of your life. And, you know, there's some things in your life you need to unlock, not because you want to use them, but because you need to clean it out. A whole lot of that in your life too. And so there's plenty of things we can lock and unlock and we can open and we can take care of. But if you don't have the right spot and the right way to do it, you'll never unlock that area of your life. You'll never have that. You won't be able to open that because you don't even know what to do. You go, well, yeah, but I've seen everybody else. Yeah, but you don't have it. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll look at some keys this morning. Just four of them. I'm going to do four of them this morning. Father, we thank you for the day. I thank you, Lord, that you are a wonderful God, that you do save us, you keep us. Father, not only do you save us and keep us, you provide for us, and you, Lord, just supply and take care of everything that we need. And I pray once again you do that this morning through the Word of God. Give me wisdom as I preach. Help me, Father, just to say what I ought to say. And I pray you'd be an encouragement, a strengthening, and a helping today, that maybe you'd help us to get some things taken care of or get some things in the right place so that we can go ahead and have, Lord, some areas of our life open up to us. And you can get glory and you can get praise and you can get honor today. Father, once again, we pray for your soon return. We pray Jesus Christ would come quickly. But Lord, if not, I pray somebody here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray they'd come to the Savior today. They'd call upon Jesus Christ. They'd get the greatest key ever, and they'd get salvation. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to see there's a key to salvation. The key of salvation shows up. You say, what is that? That's the preaching of the gospel. Some of you, you got salvation. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We know Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We know that part. We understand that part. But the trouble that we have is that the key shows up in our lives. And if you're saved in here and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the trouble is that we not only have the key of salvation that that unlocked it for us, Jesus Christ. We could go, Jesus is the answer for all these, okay? I'm not going to do that, all right? That's not what I'm doing, okay? Jesus is always the answer. We could do that generic answer and then we can all sound spiritual and feel great. But that's not the practical answer, okay? The practical answer is, how do I get Jesus involved in that? All right? Jesus, yeah, He's the answer to everything. He's the cheat code for the entire life that we have. He gives us more abundant life. But we're not doing just a cheat, simple answer, okay? We have to understand what's going on. So how do I get salvation? Well, Jesus is the Savior. Of course He is. He's the door. He is the shepherd. In fact, He's the good shepherd that gave His life for us. And because Jesus died for our sins and He was buried and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, He gives us salvation. But the trouble with that is we got salvation and we unlocked it for us. But you know what He's allowed you and I to do? Make copies. Isn't that nice when you go to a place and you hand them a key and you go, hey, I need 20 of these. And they go, okay. And they just keep cutting keys and hand them to you. Christian, you're the key maker on that. The Lord gave you the key to salvation. You know what He said? Go out, unlock some other people. Go out and start putting that key in and letting people know, hey, there's a Savior. His name's Jesus. He died for you. And you know what He gave you? He gave you just carte blanche to go ahead and make as many keys as you like. He goes, I want everybody up here. I want everybody to get through the door of the sheep. I want everybody to come to the Good Shepherd. I want everybody to make it into heaven. I want that. That's what I want. So you know what you can do? Make as many keys as you like. Tell everybody about me. That's a Savior right there. And He goes, hey, just make another key. Go ahead, tell them. Hand out all the keys you want to. You know, we have building security here. Brother Thomas, back when he was head of security, he made sure. I got a spreadsheet for it and everything. Make sure we know everybody who has a key to everything. Why? Because if anything happens, you want to know who was able to access that and not break in to get there. That helped you out. You know, that key security. So you know what? I don't have 300 keys to the main building. Because if I give out 300 keys, you know what I don't have? Any security. Right? If everybody that walked in the door, just random first-time visitors, were just like, here, have a key. I mean, you've been here once, let's give you one of those. That sounds like a great plan. But you know what heaven is? Heaven's a place where God wanted everybody to get a key. And He offers it. And He offers it. And He offers it. And He says, hey, I want everybody to get in here. I want everybody to be able to access heaven, but they got to come through the one door and they got to get the right key. Jesus Christ is the only door. Said so. And He's also the only key. If you don't have Jesus as the Savior, you don't get in. You got to go through Him, otherwise you don't get salvation. Christian, you realize that the devil would love to steal that from anybody he possibly could. Thank God you can't lose your salvation. Thank God. When you got that key is a permanent one. That can't go anywhere. The trouble is we try to give that key to other people, and the Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to steal that away from anybody else. He sees you extend that key, he tries to snatch it. Keep everybody else out. He wants them to lose it. He wants them to forget about it. They heard the and they don't want to deal with it. That's the fowls of the air there in Matthew chapter 13, right? That sower goes out and he sows seed and he's just chucking seed everywhere. He's throwing it out and the seed hits and it lands on that wayside. And the birds of the air come, the fowls of the air come and they snatch up that seed. Later he gives that interpretation down there around verse number 19 and he says, the wicked one comes and takes the seed. What's he doing? Just taking away the truth. Just taking it away so that they won't trust him. So that they won't trust Jesus Christ, so that they'll walk away, so they won't get salvation. And so you got that today. You got that key. You got saved. You unlocked that truth. This is the most important key right here, because here's the deal. You don't get any of the rest without salvation. And when that key unlocked, it unlocked so much more than just Jesus saved me. That door opened up, and that door opened Jesus Christ coming into your life and changing everything. You get that key in place, and you know what you find? You find that you've unlocked so much more than just the idea of, well, I don't have to go to hell now. That's true. We're not going to hell. We trusted Christ. That's a zero chance. We're never going to go there. The trouble is that we got salvation, and we think, sometimes people think, well, that's all that I got. I got out of hell. No, you got way more than that. You got the key to everything you ever need. And so, well, what do people really want in life? Look over at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know what people want? John chapter 15, verse 9. John 15, 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know what people want in their life? They want joy. Now the world thinks, well, I want happiness. Well, happiness is fleeting. Happiness and joy are two different things. Now if you're joyful, you're probably happy. But if you're happy, that doesn't necessarily mean you have joy. See, the trouble is, happiness is all circumstances. It's all a state of mind. Paul made that statement, I think myself happy. You can think yourself happy and you can think yourself sad. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? You can think and then eventually you can think one direction or the other. You think long enough, you could be as depressed as anybody else on the planet. Or you can think and be as just as happy as Andrew leading a song. Anybody else on the planet? That's Brother Andrew right there. Just smiles. You could be happy. You could be sad. You could be any of those things. But that's all circumstances. It's what you think about what's happening in your life. Well, I'm happy because everything's going good, and I'm sad because everything's going bad. Okay. Well, joy is not conditional on that. Joy is different. Joy has a confidence and a safety and a security within Jesus Christ that. Amen. People just don't have. Your joy, in fact, notice, this is interesting, by the way, just not really anything in particular, but he wants you to have salvation, and he calls it life more abundant. Right? Then he gets to joy, and he says, I want your joy to be full. In a moment, I'll spoil part of the message. In a moment, we're going to talk about peace. And doesn't he want you to have the peace that passeth all understanding? I mean, this sounds pretty good. And we want all these things, and God tells you how to have all these things, but often we either forgotten how to keep it, we kind of forgotten about it, we lost track of what we were doing, we lost the key to that because we just kind of dropped it somewhere and kept walking like everything was fine. And so then today we look around and we go, why am I not joyful? Why is everything in my life about my circumstances? Why is everything? I'll tell you why really quick. You ready? Because you're looking at you. Happiness is about you. Joy is about Jesus. That's as simple as it gets. Everybody knows the acronym. If you don't know the acronym, I'll teach you right now. Jesus, others, you, right? Yourself. Jesus, others, you. Your priorities are the problem. Yeah. You see, you got salvation because of the preaching of the gospel. You get joy because your priorities are right. I'm not happy. You know why you're not happy? Because you're looking at you. I don't have what I want. I'm not getting my way. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. It is self, self, and more self. It's about what makes me happy. You'll never have joy. If it's always about you, you can get happiness for a moment. You can get circumstances to work out. You can do everything else. Why is it that when trouble comes, the Christian's not supposed to be discouraged, distressed, and discontented? Because they got Jesus. See, the trouble is, the key is Jesus. I get that. But the truth is, the problem that you have is that your priorities are messed up. You think that the world has conditioned us to think that the idea is, if I can get and I can be happy and I can love me, then I'll be able to love everybody else and be happy. And that's the most miserable life you can choose. I'm not going to tell you how to answer. I hope you've helped somebody else out or given somebody else a gift. And it had nothing to do with me. Right? You just went, you're like, man, they need help, and you helped them, and then you realized, wow, I feel kind of great about that. That's kind of nice. Hey, they encouraged me. It was just great to see somebody else excited for something that was done for them. That's kind of amazing. It's not about me, but somehow it made me feel a whole lot better about what was going on. Almost like other people are more important than I am. Almost like let each esteem other better than themselves. Almost that Jesus, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Almost like he's the most important one, and if I would, you know, put my eyes on him and I'd focus on him and I'd look at him and I would be drawn back to him, that he would kind of line everything up for me and I would have joy. Joy is not circumstances. If you've taken anything in Redeeming Hope, you will see that phrase. I don't know. How many times do you write that in there, Brother Larry? About 842 times, right? Joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. Those are not the same thing. Because everything can go wrong and you still have joy. If you got the key. If you're unlocking that door and going, okay, I'm gonna keep Jesus first, then you know what? Then you know what you can do? You can say this. You can go, hey, I didn't have knee surgery this week, and the insurance has denied it, and I have no idea what's going to happen, but that's fine. Because Jesus, he's got it all under control. If he wants me to have surgery, I have surgery. Maybe there's a really good reason I'm not having surgery yet. Say, are you going to know what it is? Maybe not. Eventually, he'll shine some light on that, I'm sure. But the truth is, here I stand. That's what we're going to do. Are you happy about it? I'm not happy about it. I am not happy. I had a schedule. It looked like it was going to fit my schedule. And it's not in my timing. And I'm not getting my way. Okay. Then you can flip that back over and go, all right, Lord, you know what's going on. You know how this is going to work. And you can work all this out. And whatever way you're working it out, I'm sure gives you way more glory than what I had in mind. So I'll trust that you can get that all taken care of. See, the difference is all the difference. I can, woe is me, I didn't get much done. Okay, baby, you whiner. Pick it up and get to going. You still got stuff to get done, and the Lord is still in charge, and he has not walked off his throne and said, oh, I just don't know what to do. The Lord's got it. Well, then if he's got it, then you can be joyful. Because the reason you're joyful is not that it's about you, and it's not that he can't, and it's not that, it's that you know he's in control and he wants you to have joy. He wants you to be full of joy. And if he wants me to be full of joy, then he's not going to steal my joy. That's the devil's job. The devil wants to steal joy. He wants to take that away. He wants you to forget there's a key. He wants you to walk away from that. He wants you to go ahead and put that wrong key in and try and turn it and go, I'm going to have joy because I'm going to think about me. No. I'm going to get what I want. No, you won't. Rope, I'm just going to slide this in. How many of you have had joy because you got what you wanted? How long did it last? You got a little happiness. That's what you got. And it didn't last very long. And so you go after whatever it is for the next thing on the list. And the next thing. And the next thing. And the next thing. You know why we have an addictions program? Because people went after the things that they wanted. Thinking that they could get happiness. Thinking they could stay happy. And none of it worked. And then you get Jesus Christ. And you know what you can have? You can have joy. And you don't need all that other stuff. Look over at Philippians chapter 4. I am not going anywhere shocking today, all right? If you were hoping for a shocking message this morning, there isn't one. These are the things people want, though. Here's my question. Do you have these things? I think most of the people in this room know how to have these things. They have the key, but they don't use it. They don't actually put the key in the lock, turn it, and unlock the door. Instead, they stay in that idea of it's about me, and they don't get joy. They stay in that idea of, well, I got salvation, I don't need to duplicate it. Why would I give anybody else a key? They lose out on the truth that, guess what? Why don't I see anybody saved? Because you don't give anybody a key. Why don't I have joy? Because you don't use the key he gave you to go ahead and remember that he's important and you're not. I'm going to be really encouraging right here. You're not important. I'm not important. The Lord can go on and he can do whatever he wants to do whether I'm here or not. Whether I'm alive and breathing or I'm not, God is going to get the work done that he wants to get done with or without me. I can either be a part of it, or he can eliminate it and say, I'll use somebody else. I'll grab one of 8 billion people and I'll put them in your place and go ahead and we'll just keep going. See, my joy is not the important thing. My happiness is not the important thing. Joy is the important thing because it puts him first. And you get on board with his plan, you'll have joy. Philippians chapter 4. We all want peace. I just want peace. Okay, verse 6. We all know Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, what's the key to peace? Good prayer life. Pray about it. Now that sounds real easy. How many of you have, don't raise your hand. I always got to slide that in there. People are very eager to throw the hand out. How you have prayed for something, had peace for a moment, and then the peace left again. and you had to repeat that. Lord, I said, what'd you do? I took it back. See, what he does is, and I didn't bring a poop emoji up here with me. I failed on that. All right. Well, I guess we'll use this. I guess we'll bust out the pig. Haven't seen you in a while. And indeed, I'd be proud that I brought you out. All right. And you say, what happens? Well, this is my care. This is what's bothering me. This is what's weighing me down. Big, heavy pig. And he says, casting all your care upon him. Now this is what we do. And we do it over and over again. We give it to him. All right, Lord, that's yours. You take care of that problem right there. I can't fix it. I can't do anything with it. I don't know how to solve it. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue. I mean, I just have zero answers for this problem right here. I don't know what to do with it. All I'm going to do is take it back and walk this way anyways. And then we go, I'm so burdened. The Lord says, wait a minute, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, so I should probably cast this back over here on him. There you go. Lord, that's yours. Do you know how much peace you get when you leave it over there? But how rapidly the peace leaves when you go back over there and grab it from him? You know what's strange? He won't keep you from taking it back. He'll just let you take it back. He is so gracious, and he's such a gentleman. He just says, if you want it, you can have it back. Now, I'll gladly take care of it if you'd let me take care of it, but you and I are a little too hands-on. I'm too much of a control freak sometimes. I want to fix it myself. And God says, yeah, but I can fix it better. And it's much less stressful on you if I fix it. Yeah, but I'm going to fix it. I thought you told me you didn't have an answer for that. I thought you told me you didn't know how to handle that. I thought that was something out of your control. Well, yeah, but I'm going to fix it. Since when? Isn't it better if you hand it over to the God of all the universe, who literally speaks the universe into existence and has the power to change anything he'd like? And when he saved you, he made you a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The greatest miracle I think God could ever do is to take an awful, wicked, vile sinner like me and make it so I could be clean and pure and step into a sinless heaven. But I can't trust him to fix this. I can't trust that if I leave this with him and I walk away, that he can go ahead and handle that. Realize to save you, God had to become a man. Miracle. Wasn't that a miracle? We call that a miracle, don't we? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. God in the flesh. He lives a sinless life. What about you? I feel like that's miraculous. And I say, no, he's God. Yeah, but he's walking around as a man. By the way, I'll slide this just extra two. Back there in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God creates man. Adam didn't have any sin either. He was made in the image of God. Adam had a choice. There's Jesus. What's he cheating to get past every test? Or did he stand the test because he could? And here he is, and he proves he can pass the test. And then God dies. How do you kill God? How does a man without sin die? Without becoming sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus had to become sin when he knew no sin. So they kill God, and they put him in the ground, and he rises again 3 days later. There's number five. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. And out he comes. And then, number six. Number of man, by the way. Number six. He says, I can forgive everything you've ever done. And not only can I forgive it, I can wash it all clean and white as snow as if you've never done anything again. I'll give you my righteousness and I'll take your unrighteousness. It took six miracles for you and I to have eternal salvation. And then he turns around and says, that only take me one to fix. And I don't even have to work that hard. And you can't leave that with him? That's why you don't have peace. You don't have peace because you can't figure out how to leave the problems with him. You don't have peace because you look around at a world and you say all these problems and all this is terrible and this is awful. And it is. It's terrible and awful. Our nation is, we're in a scary time in our nation and in our world. The thought that we'd ever have to worry about locking the doors of a church building. The thought that we would ever need security cameras up at a church building. The thought that you would ever need a security team at a church building. That's crazy. I've had people ask, is your church open all the time? No, it's not. There used to be a time you'd walk up to any church building, you walk in the back doors, come up to the altar, you could pray for 20 minutes if you wanted to. Nobody even bother you. You get up, walk out, and nobody even care. Not today. Today it's locked up tight as a drum everywhere. Somebody's standing guard. Somebody's watching. Somebody's, you say, why? Because we live in a world like that. Or if you leave the doors unlocked, all the anything that's not bolted down will probably be gone. That's the world we live in. That's the country we live in. You look around at what happened with Charlie Kirk, and you look around at different things, and he's not the only person that's going to get persecuted, I'm sure. We look around and we go, oh my goodness, what's happening, Lord? What are we doing? What's happening? And you can lose your peace awful fast looking out there. Remember one thing. I'm going to tell you this right now. Safety is of the Lord. You could be in the absolute perfect, safest environment you could possibly have, as perfectly controlled by mankind as you can find, and God can still take you off into eternity whenever He'd like. And if He wants to spare you, He will. Most people used to learn history in Sunday school or in school, and instead they learn social studies and they don't know anything now. George Washington, he's the guy nobody could kill. Older folks in this room know that. Younger folks in this room probably have never heard that. He was invincible, according to the Indians in the French and Indian War. He was, you know what he was told? He was told by the chief. He was brought in. Chief is dying. He asked to go see George Washington because he wanted to go meet the man who was protected by God. His answer was, I am an expert marksman and I shot you 13 times. I know I shot you 13 times. Washington had bits of bullets in his hair, on his coat, holes. Nothing hit him. Nothing hit him. He said, I told my men, we shot you over 100 times between me and my men. I told my men to stop wasting ammo. If God wants you to live, you'll live. And if He doesn't, you'll die. And it doesn't matter all the measures you take. When He wants you, you stop breathing. And when He doesn't, He'll keep your heart beating. Regardless if they shoot you 100 times. Say, can God do that? A lost man said He did. And he wasn't talking about his gods. He was talking about George Washington's God. I want to eat the man who is protected by God. It wasn't a question of who he was talking about. It's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. No question who he was talking about either. What's the trouble? The trouble is you don't have peace because you don't pray. And leave it with him. You got to put it over there and you've got to leave it there and it's got to stay there. And every time you take it back, you got to go ahead, oh, that's not mine, and put it back. We all have a tendency to go ahead and grab it again. But the truth is, we all need to go, nope, that's supposed to be His. He can take care of that. I can't take care of that. The impossible, the miraculous, the things that are impossible with men, that's possible with God. And He is the only one that can make it possible. So you know what you need? Just keep putting it over there. So I keep losing my peace, then keep putting it over there. The devil would love to steal your peace. He loved to make you think that you have to be under everything under your control and you can handle it and you've got this. That's pride, isn't it? Last time I checked, that's pride. And isn't he king over all the children of pride? You got peace in here today? Or are you still feeling like it's all turmoil? Remember this, peace isn't circumstances either. Joy is not about your circumstances. Peace isn't about your circumstances. You can have peace in all sorts of storms. Because you know the one who can step out on the bow of that ship and say, peace be still. And it'll all be taken care of. That's why it's the peace that passeth all understanding. If you could understand why you have it, that'd be one thing. You look around the situation, you say, well, it's calm out here, so that's why it's calm in here. No. It's a raging storm out there, and it's still here. Why? Because the one who's in the boat with me, the one who's taking care of me, the one who I can cast my cares on, and he goes ahead and fixes whatever he needs in his timing and in his way. It's all about him. Look over at 1 John chapter 1, and I'll be done. 1 John chapter 1. Like I said, we're not going anywhere weird. These are the keys, and God has given us these real easy. This is what I love. I really love this about God. Is God the most intelligent, all-knowing being in the universe? Right? I mean, he knows everything. Smart people, highly intelligent people, have a really hard time making it easy for us simpletons, right? Like, you talk to a doctor, right? And they think they're smart, so they tell you all these wonderful big words that you got to figure out what in the world they're talking about. And they have a hard time coming down and telling you what they said, right? You ever deal with somebody like that? Lawyers, you know, these smart people, highly educated. They have a hard time explaining the complex things to you and me. What's great about God is that he takes the most complex things you could ever imagine. Go ahead and describe that Christ is in you. What? And he's in you, and he's in you, and he's in you, and he's in you, and he's in you. How's that work? God says, don't worry, it works. Because he is, because I said so. How's eternity work? You know what I like? I like rewards. The idea of our eternal rewards. Now, I'm going to mess with your brain just for a second. If you haven't heard me say this before, it kind of messes with your brain the first time you hear it. If what we actually get at a judgment seat of Christ is gold, silver, and precious stones, I don't understand that. You say, why? Because how is that even a reward? He paved the streets in gold. The walls are made out of gems. And silver isn't even showing up. Right? So you know what he did? He took whatever that reward is that I don't understand, and he put it in terms that I definitely understand. That make sense? Did I lose everybody right there? That it's not really a reward. I'm not. If I walk outside right now, I grab a handful of gravel. Just walk over there. I'll grab some gravel out of the walkways. I just walk back over. I go, hey, Brother Kevin, you've been doing a great job pastoring with our young folks. Here you go. Here's your reward. He gets a pile of gravel. He'll say thank you. He'll smile and nod and be polite. And in his head, he's thinking, why did he give me this? And he will walk outside and turn it over into the rest of the gravel, because what's the point of having a handful of gravel? Lord hands you a pile of gold in heaven. You look down at your feet and you go, Why do I have this? We pave the streets with this. So I don't think it's literally gold. But he's equating it to what you and I know we would want. Riches. Whatever those riches are ununderstandable. We cannot understand what he's about to do. We can't understand the glory that shall be revealed in us in heaven. That's what he says. We can't comprehend what he's going to do. So he had to put it in terms that you and I can understand. He makes it nice and simple. He goes, hey, you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you gold and silver and precious stones. You're going to love it. What am I going to do with it? I don't know, but you're going to love it. That's crowns. You're going to have crowns. You're going to have a mansion. You're going to have, what am I going to do with all that stuff? I have no idea. He does. And he understands it. He just knows you and I won't understand what we're about to do. So he comes down to you and he says, hey, you're going to get gold, silver, and precious stones. We go, yeah. And then when we think about it for a minute, we're like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with that. He says, don't worry about it. It's going to be great. So then he looks at you and he says, okay, the key to having salvation is knowing that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again. I'll make salvation simple. He knows everything, but I'll make salvation simple. I'll die for you and give it to you as a gift. We all understand what a gift is. He paid for it, and he offers it. You have salvation. You want joy? I'll keep it simple. Keep me first. Love everybody around you. Then worry about you. Oh, I can do that. Okay, yeah, I understand that. You want peace? Give me all your problems, and I'll give you all my... That's simple. He goes, he could complicate this. The world's complicated all those things, haven't they? The world complicates salvation. Work really hard. Maybe your good works will outweigh your bad works. Dunk in this pool of water. Let us toss a bucket of water on your face. Whatever it is, they'll go ahead and make it harder than it's supposed to be. Joy, you got to love you before you can love everybody else. If you know you, you don't like you. Right? Peace? Well, once you get everything under control and all the situation, are you kidding me? How are you going to control what's going on in our nation and our world? One thing you can do, by the way, is just turn your TV off. That would help. And quit scrolling your news feed for 16 hours a day, and you'll probably calm down. That might fix all of your blood pressure issues right there. Just stop looking at the news, all right? That's the trouble. We want peace, but there is no peace. Not out there. Not their way. You can't get everything under control. You can't have everything all in your grip and be able to control it all. So you give it to the one person in all the universe who can control everything. All right, whatever you want. And be okay, because since he's first, I can have peace. Since he's first, I have joy. Since he's first, I have peace. Since he's the Savior, he saved me. I have all these pieces. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, and I am done right here. Verse number 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know what? You know what every Christian should want? Sadly, they don't, but what every Christian should want, they should want fellowship with God. Say, what's the cure for that? Getting another pardon. Getting peace, getting purged, getting clean one more time. You know why you don't have peace and why you don't have joy? Sin's about you. Sin's always about you. You know why you don't witness to others? Because sin, it's all about you. You don't care that they're lost. You don't care that they're dying. You don't care that they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. You don't care what happens to them. Instead, it's I don't feel comfortable. I'm not outgoing. I'm not adequate to tell them. I don't know enough. You see how all that is? It's all about, that's a me mentality. By the way, if you don't tell them, which is a command, we're all on the same page on that, right? Witnessing's a command. Okay? You're my disciples if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you disobey a commandment from God, one simple three-letter word, it is sin. Well, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we've sinned, don't we have to fix it? It's your job to fix it. God's already done his job of fixing it. And you didn't lose that key of salvation, you lost the key of fellowship. And the key to fellowship is forgiveness, staying close, going ahead and putting that key in and getting purged of whatever that sin is that was in your life, and going ahead and get it fixed. You won't have peace and you will not have joy and you will not witness to anybody if you don't have this key right here. You got the key of salvation? Automatic. That's an eternal key right there. You'll never lose it. It's like glued to your hand. You'll never lose it. But the trouble is your fellowship, that comes and goes. And whatever you've got in your life, you need to figure out how to get out of your life. There's keys for all of that. There's keys for victory, and there's keys for the answers to your sin and whatever it is that you do to keep you from doing those things so that you can walk with him and be with him and have fellowship with him. And when you mess up, there's a key to fix that. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we get back in fellowship so that we can have all the things that we really want. Because if you're not walking with him, how can you be at peace? If you're not walking with him, how can you really have joy? If you're not walking with them, it's awful hard to give somebody the gospel. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Now, it can be done. I know lost people have given a gospel tract to somebody. I know lost people who have told the truth of Jesus. But that's not the norm. Especially if you're a Christian and you're ashamed of what you're doing. Certainly don't want to give the gospel to anybody. Then they'll think you're a Christian. Well, then it's about fellowship. You know, we've all got keys, and we've got the answers. The key to everything is right here in your hand. You've got an answer for what you have. Sometimes, you know what you got to do? You got to work to find which key's right. Sometimes. But most of them, they're plain and right there. So I'm going to ask you this morning, you missing any keys? Or maybe you're just not using the keys you got. Because you already know what you're supposed to do. You're just not doing any of it. Don't be a hearer of the word only. Right? That's the caution. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's make some changes so we can have what we want in our lives. God wants you to have those things. He's not keeping them just because he wants to keep them and not let you have them. He wants you to have them. Life more abundant. Joy unspeakable. He wants you to have peace that passeth all understanding. He's not keeping it from you. He gave you the answers. So then the question is, do you want them? Well, then put the key in the lock and turn it. Do something. Make the change. Because there are some keys to life you could have. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know I talked a little bit about it at the beginning, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we would love to open a Bible and show you how you can know your sins are forgiven. You can have a home in heaven forever. You can get the key to salvation that will never leave you. You'll have it forever. Christian, maybe you're in here and you want that joy and you want that peace and you want to be a witness, and you're just not staying in fellowship well. Maybe you have some things, and maybe you are in fellowship, but you're just not living in that peace. You're not living in that joy. You're not using those things. Now's the time. Come, cast your care upon Him. Put it down here. Let Him know. What'll it be, Christian? Father, I do pray You would bless our morning. Thank You once again for the Word of God. Thank You for the keys that You've given us. I pray we'd use them and we wouldn't lose them. Pray we wouldn't let the devil take them all from us. Lord, I pray You'd get all the praise and the honor and the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.